Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be strolling through Deuteronomy chapter 34 and ending the book of Deuteronomy. And what a long, strange trip it's been. This is a short little chapter, but before you get ahead of yourself, spoiler alert, Moses dies. We follow Moses as he treks up to the peak of Mount Nebo, 2,330 feet above sea level. And God gives him a sweeping panoramic view of the promised land that he'll never enter. He can see from his vista peak all of the land between himself and the sea. And what went through Moses' mind as he looked out? Of course, the thought might have been, what could have been? Moses would have gazed longingly at the land that God had promised to his people. The desire to settle would have been a welcome rest to a man who was always moving. From the time he was a young man on the run from Pharaoh to being a shepherd, he never stopped moving. For 40 years, he treks around the wilderness. Moses didn't stay still for long. And now he's finally going to get that rest he'd always dreamt about. And I'm sure as he looked out with that longing gaze to see the rest of the people of God, he also knew that the rest he was about to enter into with his friend and God was going to be even sweeter. We don't think about our own deaths very much, but even Solomon said it's better to be in the house of mourning than the house of feasting. In other words, a funeral will make you think deeper than a wedding will. David said, "Teach us to number our days aright, Lord, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Verse 1. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea. The Negev and the whole region from the Valley of Jericho, the City of Palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I'll give it to your descendants. I've let you see it with your eyes, but you won't cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. God buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. So here we see God, because he's not mean, allows Moses to see the promised land before he dies. It was a kindness God shows to Moses to allow him to see it with his earthly eyes. Moses had no idea yet what was going to happen in Jesus and how Moses himself would become a picture of the law and Joshua, his successor, would be a picture of Jesus leading us into the promised land of God. By the way, Joshua is the name for Jesus in Hebrew, not an accident. Moses had no clue, but he trusted God's ways. He trusted God himself, and it would only be a few minutes until Moses would be ushered into the presence of God and fully understand everything. Just a few more moments, and then the payoff. The passage tells us that God buries Moses' body, and Jude verse 9 in the New Testament tells us that Satan tried to take that body. What in the heck would Satan want with Moses' body? We don't know, but perhaps Satan wanted to mock God with it. Perhaps he wanted to destroy it. Satan hates us so much that even though he can't destroy our soul because it's secure in Jesus, he'll try to destroy whatever part of you he can. That's why the Bible says to be careful not to give him a foothold in any area of your life. Some scholars think that because of Moses' later appearance with Elijah on Mount Hermon, that Satan understood that there would be some later purpose that God had for Moses. And although Satan didn't know why God was hiding his body, there was a future purpose that Satan wanted to thwart. Of course, looking back through the rearview mirror of the New Testament, we can see that Moses and Elijah would appear with Jesus on another mount and engage in a discussion with him during the Mount of Transfiguration event. A close translation of the Hebrew of this passage says, "So Moses, the servant of the Eternal, died there in the land of Moab at the command of the Eternal." The Hebrew reads, "Al Pi Adonai, by the mouth of the Eternal." Hence the legend in rabbinical circles about God kissing Moses at his moment of death. And so, quite possibly, with a gentle kiss from his lifelong friend, whom he had met face to face every day, Moses' death becomes a comforting departure from a missed rest into an eternal rest. Closing his eyes 1 second, Moses opens his eyes, looking into those same eyes of that same friend that he had come to know and love so much in the tent of meeting. Verse 10 says, "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." There are those people, people just like us, but people nonetheless who are very rare, people who are special. They shine like Moses because they meet regularly with God. They reflect him to us, and then we feel as if we know God better somehow because of them. Because of knowing them, we know God better. There is a unique quality to people like this, something that we can't quite place or don't know how to explain, but it can all be put very simply. They walked with God. They knew the Lord. And because of that, their lives touch everyone they come into contact with. They bring a prophetic sense of the presence of God with them everywhere they go. Moses was that kind of leader, and we desperately need men and women like Moses today. What about you? What about us? Will we be that kind of Christian? Somebody who walks deeply with God? Someone who affects others and helps others see God more? But before we leave Moses, verse 9 reads about the guy who had a tough act to follow. "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." Moses had reproduced himself in Joshua before he departed planet Earth, and Joshua becomes the leader who most fully resembles and represents Jesus. In Joshua, or Yeshua, where we get our word Jesus, we receive the fulfillment of all of the promises of God. Joshua, Yeshua, or Jesus, who, like Joshua the warrior, fights all of our battles for us and leads the way as a leader into the blessings of God on our behalf. Whereas in this book, we're told that there was no leader like Moses coming up after him, as good of a leader as Joshua was, so we know now that Jesus has come that there is no one like him. All other Old Testament figures pale in comparison to the model that Jesus was, who, when they were told, "Jesus, show us the Father, like a prophet, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." No prophet could say that, not even Moses. I hope you've enjoyed this journey through the book of Deuteronomy, through these three sermons that Moses preached as he parked the people of God at the banks of the Jordan in the land of Moab. We're sad to leave Moses, but we're excited to enter the promised land in the book of Joshua. Join me there as we continue our journey on Through the Word.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.